That's 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling, as at all the other times, "Samuel, Samuel."
There was another half to that verse, Anna. "And Samuel said, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" It's one of those wonderful pauses where we're all on the edge of our seats. And well, maybe it'll impose itself on us even the more for having it that way. We are spending a few weeks looking at divine encounters in the scriptures where God meets with different people and changes the course of their life. And when I chose for the one this morning, I knew we were going to be baptizing Joel. I didn't know at that time we were going to be baptizing Samuel. And I thought, well, should I speak on Joel? But then we had a sermon on Joel last term, and I thought, I know, we'll speak on God calling a little boy to know him as we bring this little boy to baptism. And then Roger and Beth said, "Can we have Samuel baptized on July the 11th? And I thought, well, that's just going to fit beautifully because I'm speaking about Samuel. But the point is that God wants to speak to all of us. And the question I have for you this morning is, would you like for the Lord to speak to you more? Or maybe if you've never heard him, would you like for him to speak to you at all? Or maybe you're aware that he's probably speaking and you may have a bit of a hearing difficulty with him. And would you like for the Lord to help you hear what he's saying? Now, if the answer to that is no, then I suggest you just nod off for the next while, because I'm going to be speaking to those for whom the answer to that is yes. And I'm going to pray that the Lord will indeed help us to hear what he's saying to us this morning. So let's just pause. Lord, as Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." We pray that you will speak to us this morning. We're listening. We suspect you are trying to speak to us far more than we're aware of. And we pray you would unblock our ears that we can hear what you're saying. And we pray that for all of us, from this day on, we would be better at listening for what you have to say to us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, a few things from this story of Samuel on the whole area of hearing what God is saying to us. And the first one was that Samuel was not expecting the Lord to speak to him at all. I don't know if you noticed the first verse of that passage. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. Didn't happen very often that God spoke to people. In Old Testament days, occasionally God would speak to someone. But for the most part, God wasn't particularly speaking to his people. And the first point I want to make is that we live in a very different time. We live in New Testament days as opposed to Old Testament days. The Old Testament, the Old Covenant, was before Jesus. And the word of the Lord was rare. in those days. The word of the Lord is not rare for us since the arrival of Jesus. We live in a different era to that that Samuel grew up in. The very Bibles we have are divided into an Old Testament or an Old Covenant and a New Testament or a New Covenant. And we live in New Testament days since Jesus arrived. Now, you know at carol services the famous reading from John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. We live in the era of Jesus, the living Word, who God sent so we could hear what God is saying to us today. So the first point I'm making is that we live in a different era. But some folks say to me, well, I've been looking for God for a long time, and I can't seem to find him or hear what he's saying. Let me tell you the story that I sometimes tell to folks who say that to me. Have you ever tried to play hide-and-seek with a toddler? I'm sure that both these families have. I think Isaac's probably just beginning to get into hide-and-seek, probably at the age where if he can't see you, he thinks that you can't see him. But it grows on a bit. The one of our children who most enjoyed this was Rachel, our pianist this morning, who's reached the age where she's no longer embarrassed by this, or so she tells me. I'll get into trouble later if that's not. But Rachel, when she was two or three, loved playing hide-and-seek. And we had to get the rules clear. As any game, it's really important you get the rules clear so you know how you're playing it. So Rachel would say, Daddy, can we play hide-and-seek? I'd say, yes, darling. How are we going to play? She says, well, you count to 20, then I'm going to go and hide in the bathroom, and then you have to find me. So I said, let's get the rules clear so we understand the game we're playing. You're going to hide in the bathroom, and I'm going to count to 20, and then I'm going to try and find you. And she said, that's right. So I would close my eyes and start counting to 20, and there'd be a pitter-patter of up the stairs. And then I'd say loudly, I wonder if Rachel is in the kitchen. And there'd be a little giggle from upstairs. No, I wonder if Rachel's in the dining room. Little giggle from upstairs. I wonder if Rachel's upstairs. More giggles from upstairs. I wonder if Rachel's in Mummy and Daddy's bedroom. Lots of giggles from the bathroom. I wonder if Rachel's in Thomas's bedroom. Loads of giggles from the bathroom. I wonder if Rachel's in the bathroom. And she'd come running out for a big cuddle. The point was, she wasn't really hiding. She wanted to be found. And I tell that story because God's not hiding. He's come to us in Jesus and says, here I am. So anybody who says, I've been looking for God, I say, well, you haven't been looking very hard, have you? He's come in Jesus and said, here I am. And if you want to know what God is like, if you want to begin to hear God speaking to you, then the first thing to do is to recognize we're in a new covenant, we're in a New Testament, and I encourage you to read a gospel from the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, that begin to introduce Jesus to us. That's the first place we start, as Jesus is the living Word of God. If we want to hear what God is saying to us, the first place we come is to Jesus. And in that sense, we have a huge privilege that the boy Samuel didn't have. But then there are some points of similarity. So here's the second thing I want to say. Samuel nearly missed the Lord speaking to him. So three times the Lord speaks to him, and three times he thinks it's Eli, the old priest, and three times he goes through to Eli and says, you called, and Eli says, no, I didn't. And eventually Eli thinks, I wonder if God's trying to call him. And he says, if it happens again, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. I don't know how old you think the boy Samuel was. Different people picture him at different ages. For me, the sort of primary school age is where I'm. Somewhere in that sort of age, I reckon Samuel probably was. Probably a bit more than 4 or 5. Probably not as much as 10 or 11. Probably somewhere in that sort of age is what I think we're led to believe from the story. Here is a little boy whose very name means God hears. If you don't know the story, read chapter 1 another time. How God heard the prayer of his mum for a baby. And she said, Lord, if you answer this prayer, I'll give him to serve you. So Samuel means God hears, and he was given to serve the Lord. She had many other children. But here is the boy Samuel growing up in the temple, serving the Lord, lying there at night, and the Lord speaks to him, and he nearly missed it. And the point of similarity for us, I wonder, is how often is God trying to speak to you or me, and we nearly miss it? How often is he trying to get through saying Jonathan or Rob or Roger or whatever it is, and we miss it? So why might we miss the word of the Lord? Well, Samuel nearly missed it because he thought it was Eli speaking. And I think we sometimes miss it because we think that maybe it's someone else. Maybe the Lord has put a thought in our head. And we think, no, that's silly, that's just me. But when we read through the scriptures, God's asking people to do silly things rather a lot of the time. Noah, build a boat in the desert. Joshua, take this thousands of people and walk through a river in flood. Or capture a city by marching around it with trumpets. Sometimes God asks us to do really silly things. Sometimes you just have those thoughts in your head. Well, I wonder how so-and-so is. I'll phone them. And it turns out you phone exactly the right time. It was a God thought, not just you. Or as you're walking down to town, the thought goes, I think I'll go this way. And you bump into someone with a really significant conversation. How often do we have those thoughts and think, oh, it's just me, don't be silly, and we ignore it? But then I've been thinking about this. Why else might we miss the word of the Lord to us? I think one of the issues for us in our day, which is very different from Samuel's day, is that we are bombarded by different voices all the time. The television, the radio, the iPod with the speakers constantly in, Facebook, Twitter, email, texting. It is constant, constant. And for many people, there's an embarrassment if anyone catches them not doing anything, not listening to anything. We're a generation that's forgotten how to be quiet and forgotten about silence. Actually, I think that's why many people, when we've got hordes of children in church and it's chaos, people come in and say they feel very at home. It's chaotic and noisy out there. It's been chaotic and noisy in here earlier. But what we have to learn to do is to learn to be still before the Lord so we can hear his voice to us. Because God very rarely shouts. He often just speaks and whispers and looks for if we're paying attention. He's trying to get our attention, but he's not going to force it on us. And if these other voices, the televisions and the Facebooks and the iPods and all the rest of it, all of which are perfectly good in themselves, if that's constantly in our ears, we may well be drowning out God's voice to us. I read a story, a true story, of two men walking through a city. One of them was a scientist who studied little creatures. And as they were walking through the city, he said, stop, there's a cricket. And his friend said, how can you hear a cricket in the midst of this busy city? And he said, no, listen. And he listened carefully, and they went over to the wall near them, and there was a little cricket in a little gap in the wall. And his friend said, that's astounding, you must have amazing ears. And he said, no, everybody's got hearing like that, or most people have, I'll show you. And he got a 50p out of his wallet and dropped it on the floor, made about the same noise as the cricket, and everybody turned around to look at who was around. Because our ears are attuned to money, and we can hear that when it drops, but our ears are not attuned to cricket. And the question is, how can we attune our ears to listen to the words of the Lord to us? We all have an ability in our brains to look for particular things. So I remember before we had twins, from time to time we would notice twins around. Once Juliet was pregnant with twins, we noticed twins everywhere. We just sort of were attuned to it. When we had to get a big family minibus to drive, we have five kids, so we need a big car to drive us around. We got a Volkswagen Caravelle. We'd hardly ever come across them. Once we got one, we saw them everywhere. Because there's a bit in your brain that's just attuned to this. You know, if you buy a new car, you suddenly see everybody else who's driving that sort of car. Now, that means there's a bit in our brain that if we look for it, can attune to particular voices. So the question is, if we're not going to miss the word of the Lord to us, we need to be listening out for what he's saying. I think one of the other reasons we may miss the word of the Lord is we may have a distorted picture of God. Some people carry around pictures of God that are not the God of the Bible. God as a big policeman saying no, or God as a sort of fairly genial old Santa Claus who's fairly irrelevant 364 days a year. And they have this picture of God that's not the God of the Bible. So why would you listen out for a God like that? Sometimes people say to me, well, I don't believe in God. And I say to them, well, tell me about the God you don't believe in. And when they tell me, I say, I don't believe in that God either. That's not the God of the Bible. So reading up on Jesus and who he taught us God was like, we'll begin to attune our ears to God as he really is, such that we begin to tune in. And if you're right at the beginning, a word for anyone who's completely new to all this, we need a sort of an Eli. Samuel was completely new to this, and he needed Eli to point him in the right direction. Now, the Eli we usually use in our church is the Alpha Course, which just folks are thinking, I'd like to hear about God, I'd like to learn a bit more, how can I? We usually say, well, come to that, that will begin to help you get going. But your Christian friend may be an Eli for you, who can point you somewhere you could read, something you could think, just to begin to tune the ears to what God is saying. Maybe coming back on Sundays will be a way you could do that. So, recap so far. In Samuel's day, the word of the Lord was rare. It's not rare for us. We live in the days of Jesus, and we have the Bible in front of us, which Samuel didn't have. Samuel nearly missed the Lord speaking. We can miss the Lord if we don't tune our ears, if we don't still the other voices. Third thing from this story that struck me is the way Samuel is told by Eli, go down, says Eli, go and lie down. If he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So the Lord came and stood there calling us at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, your servant is listening. Now that is a great prayer that you and I can pray. I'm so grateful to the people who taught me in my young days to read a bit of the scriptures every day. Jesus is the living word of God, but what we have in front of us is God's word recorded. And when it's read, we say, this is the word of the Lord. We say, thanks be to God. This is God's word. And every day I read a bit from the scriptures and say, Lord, please will you speak to me through your word. And unless we pray that, the Bible may well just be an old book, a bit like an old sundial in a country house on a cloudy day. It's just old. But when the clouds part and the sun shines, then the sundial can speak, as it were. And when we pray, Lord, speak, your servant is listening, he loves to answer that prayer. He'll shine his spirit, his light on the word, and we'll find God speaking to us. And I've lost count many years ago of the times people would say to me, I was reading this bit from the Bible, and this verse just seemed to speak right into my situation. Actually, I had a lovely example yesterday at Dave and Lizzie's wedding. They had a small wedding up here in the chancel. Lovely occasion. And they had a passage read at their wedding I'd never heard at a wedding before. It was Joshua chapter 3, where they go across the river. And there's a verse in that chapter which says, follow the ark of the Lord, the presence of the Lord, for you haven't been this way before. It's a fabulous chapter speaking into a new situation. Just the way you read a chapter of the scriptures and it speaks into a situation. And the preacher was saying, Dave and Lizzie, you are entering a new stage of your life. You haven't been this way before. So you need to follow the Lord in that. And it was just a lovely example of God's word speaking into a particularly different situation. And no doubt, I don't know the story behind it, Dave or Lizzie had read this chapter and thought, gosh, we'll have that at our wedding. And countless times God will speak through the scriptures when we're praying, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So one of the basic bits of Christian discipleship is to make time every day to read a bit from the scriptures and to be still and ask God to speak. There are some wonderful Bible reading notes that will just give you a different passage each day that could just explain any of the difficult concepts because some of them come from a different era. But to get popped down to the Christian Resource Centre and say, I want something to help me with my Bible reading, what can I get? Some of you will have been using Bible reading notes forever and got a bit stuck with them, in which case I just ditch the Bible reading notes, it's the Bible we're getting into, and come fresh, read a book of the Bible fresh. Without someone telling you how to divide it up into particular verse chunks. The key thing is making time. Lord, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. And I find, because my brain works fairly fast, I easily rush through. So I find it helps me if I have a journal and I jot down my thoughts as I'm reading the Bible. And in those days when I journal, I find I'm better at hearing God because it just slows me down, the very act of writing. And on those days when I don't journal, I find it very easy to go in one ear and out the other. Others are wired differently. There is no commandment in the Bible that says, thou shalt journal. So I want to release you from anyone who thinks you ought to do it that way. That's just for me. Some people are good sitting down in a chair with a Bible, with a cup of coffee. Others are better to read a story and go for a walk and chew over it as they walk. The key thing is let's listen to the word of the Lord. But then don't just say, I've done my quiet time for the day. And ignore the voice of God. God will speak to you right through each day if you'll listen. If you ask him questions. Lord, what should I do about this? Give me wisdom about that. I never know when the phone goes what it's going to be. Is it going to be a child wanting a lift home? Is it an undertaker telling me there's been a death? Is it someone who's cross with something I said in church? So I always pray, Lord, help me to love the person who I'm picking the phone up. So whenever you phone me, there's usually been that prayer. And usually it's not a difficult, usually it's an easy answer prayer. Only about 1 in 100 is that prayer really needed. But let's just pray through the day so we keep in contact with what the Lord is saying. And as we come to the summer holidays, holidays are holy days. That's where the word comes from. We have a bit more time. Just can I encourage you, take a Christian book with you, read a bit of the scriptures, take a journal, jot down thoughts. We're learning from Samuel, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. If over the summer all of us would pray that prayer a little bit more, we'll get better at hearing what he's saying. Then one last thing from Samuel, and this is very important. Samuel acted on what God said. So let me read to you the bit that comes following the story. And this is always a shock to me. What would you expect God to say the first time he says to a young boy? You expect, Samuel, I love you. I'm so pleased with you. You're being such a blessing. Be nice to Eli. And what do you expect him to say? Listen to what he said. And the Lord said to Samuel, verse 11, see, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears of it tingle. At that time I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible and he failed to restrain them. Therefore I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering. Whoa! That was a bit of a surprise. What a shock. This boy who loves this old man gets this message from God that is shocking. Samuel lay down, verse 15, until morning, and then opened the doors to the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision. I bet he was. But Eli called him and said, Samuel, my son, here I am. What was it he said to you? Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you. So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, here's the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes. The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized Samuel was the prophet of the Lord. So God spoke to this boy a tough message, and Samuel had the courage to pass it on. I often wonder what would have happened if Samuel hadn't passed it on. Would God have stopped speaking to him? For some of you here today, the Lord stopped speaking to you because you haven't acted on what he's told you to do. So why should he bother speaking anymore? I don't think that's many, but I think there are a few here today who God has spoken and you've not obeyed. And today would be an important moment. In a quiet, we'll just ask the Lord, Lord, have I missed something you've said? Please bring it back to my attention. And if that is you, the good news is that when we repent and we say, I'm sorry, Lord, he loves to give us extra opportunities. But my experience is that as we act on what God tells us to do, however difficult or uncomfortable it is, God trusts us more and he speaks more. It's the same in relationship, any relationship. If you ask someone to do something and they don't do it, who are you going to ask next time? Someone else. If you ask someone and they're reliable, you trust them more. And trust and friendship grows. Now, most of all, the Lord wants to develop relationships. So he's speaking in order that we can grow in relationship. And I think that's why he doesn't write it in neon letters all over the sky or on our bedroom ceiling when we wake up. Because if our instructions were written in neon on the ceiling when we woke up, we'd just go and do them. But we wouldn't develop relationship. He sort of speaks to us in slight riddles or enigmas. So we have to say, run that past me again, Lord. Are you really saying that? And it draws us closer. A bit like if you've got a little child and you want to give them a cuddle and they're somewhere else. You just sort of say to your child, you say, Isaac, ajabajajajaja. And he goes, what? Ajabajajaja. And he comes a bit nearer here. Ajajaja. And then you can pick him up and give him a cuddle as he comes nearer. God sometimes speaks in these sort of riddles or whispers to us. So we say, Lord, what are you saying? And we draw closer to him. So he comes, because he's after a relationship with us. Now, I think I've said enough this morning. Perhaps just one last thing before we pray. What I'm learning is that as I read the word of God in the scriptures and ask him to speak, he speaks. As I try and listen to him more through each day, that still small voice, I find I'm hearing it a little bit more. I don't think I'm hearing it nearly as much as the Lord would like, but hey, I'm only halfway through life so far. We've got time to grow. As God says something to you and you go with it, it's a bit like on a computer where there's an icon. If you click on the icon, a whole window opens up, and then there's some more icons. You click on them, they all open up. But if you don't click on it, you don't get any more. And it's as we come to the word of the Lord and we go with what he says. Some of you will have heard a nudge today. Go on that alpha course. So go with it. And it's like opening up a whole new icon into relationship with God. For others, it'll be something completely different. I asked you months ago to invite your neighbours round for a meal, and you've never done it. All right, I need to do that. Who knows what the Lord may be saying to you? But I'm going to pray that the Lord will open our ears and we'll get better at speaking. So hearing and then acting. So let's stand and we'll ask the Lord to help us in this area. Lord God, our Father, we praise you that we live in the era of the new covenant. That Jesus, your living word, has come to us and revealed your love, and that we have a record of his life in the scriptures and of the early church, and that you delight to speak to us. And we pray that you would pour your spirit on your people here and open our ears to hear. Open our eyes to see in your word the wonderful truths you have. We pray that for all of us as we read our scriptures and pray, speak, Lord, your servant is listening, that we will hear you speaking. We pray that as we walk through each day, you'd help us to push back the voices that surround us and be attuned to your voice, that still small voice, as you so often speak. And we dare to pray even now, as we wait on you in silence, that you would speak and put one of your thoughts in our heads. If you've spoken to us before and we've done nothing about it, would you remind us of that, that we can act on what you've said? And if there's no problem in that area, that you would speak to us something you want us to hear. So we say to you together, speak, Lord, your servants are listening. Group of people met before the service to ask the same question of the Lord, is there anything you want to put on our attention for today? And there were two particular pictures that we believe God gave. One was of a willow tree by a river whose roots go deep down to the water, and it's a very flourishing tree. And there was a call for some here today to be going deeper into God's truth. There was another different picture, another beautiful one of a skylark up in the sky, and the sense that the Lord wants to free us to fly to be the people he's made us to be. And we'll only do that fully in relationship with him. And if either of those pictures speak to you specifically, or you'd like someone to pray for you for any other reason, after we've sung our closing hymn, there'll be people either side of the stage area here who'd love to pray with you for any reason. Do take the opportunity for that. But let me now sort of bring this part of listening to God's word to a close. Lord, we pray that you would give us courage to act on what you've spoken into our minds just now. Set us hungering and thirsting after you more. Help us to attune our ears to you. Speak to us through the scriptures. Speak to us in any way that you want. But open our ears, open our eyes. And may we act on it and therefore be good news to those around us. And we ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.